Morning. Today's daf and tomorrow's Yud Ches. We are in Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We started yesterday the third parak of the Masechta. And topic tomorrow makes sense. It's Masechta. But the Gemara yesterday now is going specifically carbon by carbon, category by category, carbon by carbon, in terms of what exactly happens when, in fact, an animal is subject to tomorrow. And so, obviously, the tomorrow now is a, as we've been describing a number of times throughout the Masechta, it's a derivative Kedusha. And being that it's a derivative Kedusha, so is it going to be treated exactly like the primary? Is it going to be offered with all the rules and regulations of a primary carbon? So that has been our discussion, and it will continue to be our discussion. So yesterday we saw the Mishnah. The Mishnah brought us to the first category of carbonus, and that's Shlamim. If you look back at the Mishnah yesterday, Elu Kachim Shev Vladosem Usmurosem Kayotibam. So these are the carbonus where both the Vlad and the Tamura, the offspring, and all the Tamura Karbanos are going to be treated just like the original Karbanos. Vlad Shlamim Smurasam, Vladan, Atzov Kala Olam, Harein Shlamim Betunim Smicha, Nesachim Tenufa Chazav Shok. So the Mishnah introduced us yesterday to the idea of Shlamim, that if I create a derivative of a Shlamim, either a Tamura of a Shlamim or a Vlad of a Shlamim, or even the Vlad of the Tamura of a Shlamim, in other words, it doesn't matter how many derivatives you go in which direction. When all said and done, every carbon that is a facsimile of the original carbon are going to be treated like the original carbon. And that means to say that all the rules of a shlamim are smicha, putting your hands on the animal immediately prior to shchita, nesachim, the accompanying wine, oil, flour that comes together with the carbon, tenufa chazav ishok, after having shechted the animal, the waving of the various parts of an animal, the chest of the animal and the back right hind leg of the animal. So this is going to be done not only with the original animal, but also with all derivative animals as well. That is what we saw yesterday. The Gemara that we did yesterday, we covered a good amount of the daf, was a sourcing where these halachas come from, where do we generate these halachas, where are the drushas that we've learned these halachas from. You remember yesterday, I'm not going to go through the Gemara that we went through yesterday, but the Gemara basically said that it comes from extra psukim, extra words in the psukim regarding the Karban Shlamim. Karban Shlamim is first introduced to us in the third parak of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, and there you read through the psukim and you're going to see an extra zachar, an extra nekeva, meaning words, zachar and nekeva. So we generate the halachas of both the Vlad and the Tamura. Oddly enough, as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, Vlad is generated from the word zachar, and I was working with what's intuitive, but it's counterintuitive. Vlad comes from the word zachar, and Tamur comes from the word nekeva. The Gemara addressed it yesterday. It's a little bit counterintuitive, but okay, that's what we said yesterday. Picking up right where we left off yesterday on Yuzayin Amud Beis, Lamai Hilchasa, the Gemara says now, exactly what do we mean by that? I'm sorry, let me back up even a little bit further. Amr lemi kamilech im zacham nekeva anakule ka kamina. Im zachal Rabba says, no, I'm right. Lamai Hilchasa. Okay. What exactly is the halacha? So Amr Shmuel Kariv Valiba de Rabbi Lazar. So it is important to go back and just review one other point of the Gemara. And that is that in the drushes that we did yesterday, not only did we say that the derivative of a carbon is going to have the status of a carbon, but what if it's the derivative of a baal mum? Oh, right? So, the original animal is a baal mum. Now, the original animal had kedusha as a goof, it just developed a blemish, but the original animal can't be offered as a carbon because of its physical blemish. But now I create a derivative of that animal, either a vlad or a tamur, it doesn't matter, either one. So now, let's consider. The original kedusha now is, on one hand, kedusha as a goof, on the other hand, inhibited because I can't offer it as a carbon. So now that I create a derivative from it, so are we going to say that the derivative Kedusha is going to be of the exact same nature of the original? Meaning the original is Kedusha as a goof, but with a small inhibition. Well, small, by the way, meaning I can't offer it as a carbon. So do we say the derivative is the same thing, or do we say no? The Kedusha that transferred from A to B is going to be a full Kedusha, Kedusha as a goof. I just simply say A for an external reason, because it has a mum, can't be offered. But B could be fully offered. And now the Gemara is going to entertain both sides of this argument. Okay, Lamai Hilchasa. Amar Shmuel Ikari Valiba de Rebbe Lazar. So Shmuel's of the opinion that the second animal, the derivative animal, could be offered, despite the fact that the original animal can't be offered because it's a Baal Mum, but the derivative can be offered, and that is going according to the opinion of Rebbe Lazar. Who's Rebbe Lazar? I'm not asking who he is, but in this context, what are we talking about over here? So this is going to be based on a Mishnah that we are probably going to stop at the end of today's daf. That's the Mishnah on Yud Ches Amud Beis. There are two Mishnahs over there. You look at the second Mishnah on Yud Ches Amud Beis. So the Mishnah over there brings us to the opinion of Rebbe Lazar. Let's introduce ourselves to Rebbe Lazar of the upcoming Mishnah. If you just turn the page on Yud Ches Amud Beis, you will see Rebbe Lazar Omer Hu Asmo Yikrav Ola. Now, what is the case over there? What is the case is that you're mafresh nekeval ola. You turn to a female animal and you say that this animal is going to be designated as a carbon ola. Okay, now, this animal cannot be brought as a carbon ola. Carbon ola can only come from a male animal. Fine. So you designate this animal as a carbon ola. So what you meant by that is that the proceeds of this animal, the funds of this animal, the value of this animal is earmarked for a carbon ola. Fine. And then what happens is, yalda zachar. This animal that you designate as a carbonola, even though it's a female, and it itself can't be brought as a carbonola, then what it does is that it conceives and it has a offspring, a male offspring. So what do you do with this male offspring? In other words, can you offer this male offspring as a carbonola? So in the Mishnah, coming up at the end of today's daf, it's going to be a machlokas tonight. The Tanakhama is of the opinion, no, you cannot. Yirachi stai v'yamakar v'yavi b'dam of ola. Tanakama's position is that you are going to be doing the same thing that you would have done with the mother. With the mother, you would have waited until it got in a blemish, redeemed it, and that money, that redemptive money, is going to be applied towards a regular carbonola. Same thing with the offspring as well. That's the Tanakama's viewpoint. And Rabbi Lazar says, no. Hu atzmo yikrav ola. This offspring of the mother is a carbonola, meaning is going to be offered as a carbonola. Because when you invested Kedusha's carbonola into the mother, so even though the mother herself obviously cannot be brought as a carbonola, but that Kedusha can now go into the offspring and materialize as actual Kedusha's aguf. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. We had an expression in yesterday's daf, right, which is the even though the Kedusha is lochazi legufa, I can't apply it to the original entity, but nachzalei Kedusha seguf, but that Kedusha seguf is latent and can go into any one of its derivatives, in this case, an offspring. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And now what the Gemara is doing, what Shmuel is doing over here, is he's saying, he's transposing that idea to our discussion. Our discussion over here, it's even easier to see. With the original animal being having Kedusha seguf, but you can't offer it because it's a bamum, but any time I create a derivative off of it, and as long as that derivative is eligible to be brought on the as a carbon, so therefore it can be offered as an actual carbon. So Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah upcoming on Yud Ches Amud Beis is one and the same regarding the Rabbi Eliezer over here as well. That's Shmuel's point. The Gemara continues. Amr Shmuel Ikar Valiba de Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara now wants to try to make a distinction. We're going to reject it, but the Gemara is going to try. You see, in the upcoming Mishnah, there is a shem ola al imo. You designate the mother as a carbonola. Now again, you can't offer her as a carbonola, obviously, but still, the Kedusha was specified as a carbonola. And so therefore, any derivative that comes off the mother that can be offered as a carbonola will be offered as a carbonola. Avahani vlados la karve, but over here we're talking about a vlad of an animal that is a bamum, meaning the mother was rejected as a carbon because it's a bamum. So maybe then the animal, the kedusha that emanates from that mother, cannot be offered as a carbon. That's the havamina kamash malan. And Shmuel is coming to teach us that that's exactly the point. The point is that according to Rabbi Lazar, the offspring can be offered as a carbon. Barpada amar. Now Barpada disagrees with Shmuel, and he's of the opinion lira'ayam that no. That vis-a-vis the Kedusha of the offspring of a Baal Mum, so it is going to be left to grace, to develop a blemish, and then going to be redeemed just like its mother. Valiba de Divrei HaKol, and that goes according to everybody, meaning it goes according to the Tanakhama of the upcoming Mishnah, and you can also make the argument it goes like Rebbe Lazar as well. Isn't Rebbe Lazar going to say that you can offer? And what he'll argue is that no, the distinction that we tried to make for Shmuel, he actually subscribes to that distinction. And the Gemara points out this is not just a machlokas between Shmuel and Rebbe Lazar. Rav Amar Li Karva Aliba de Rebbe Lazar, Rav Papa Amar Li Raya Aliba de Divrei HaKol. Okay, and other Amoraim also disagree along the same lines. Va'atana Maisel Mehacha. Okay, Now, going back to yesterday's opening Gemara, the drashas. How do I know that a vlad of a shlamim and the tumor of the shlamim are going to be offered just like the shlamim themselves? So the Gemara yesterday learned it out from the extra words of Zachar Nekeva. We're going to now learn another brisa, where this second brisa is going to be arriving at the same conclusion, but via a different drasha. Rak kadashacha. These are psukim in Parshas Re'eh. The Torah says, "Your kadashacha eila tumuras." It's a reference to the tumura. Asher yu lach eila havlados. This is a reference to the vlados, the offspring. So basically, these psukim in Parshas Re'eh, encoded in these psukim, are derivatives. Tamura and a vlad. Vatisa uvasa. Now the Torah says what you're going to do is you're going to pick it up and you're going to bring it to Yerushalayim. Specifically, of course, to the Beis HaMikdash. Yachl yachnisen al Beis HaBechir v'yimne mehemayim ambazan kedei sheyamusu. Gemara entertains a havamina, a really unusual havamina. The Gemara, in fact, such a strange havamina. The Gemara later on is going to say, how do we even entertain this? Okay, now bring it to Yerushalayim. You know why? I'll tell you why you bring it to Yerushalayim. Bring it to Yerushalayim so that you could properly dispose of it in Yerushalayim. Meaning you're not going to offer it because it's not the original animal, it's only a derivative. Now, if you're going to dispose of it, why do you have to bring it to Yerushalayim to dispose of it? Right? Can't disposal take place at home? That's the havamina that's very strange. But the Gemara is going to come back to that. Tamalamar v'asisa olasech habas v'adam. So to that, the Torah says, I know you had a havamina, but I'm telling you no, you offer it as a karban. Kiderch sh'atanoeg ba'ola atanoeg b'tmura. Kiderch sh'atanoeg b'shlamim atanoeg b'vladei shlamim uv'tmura. So just like by a karban ola, you're offering it as a karban, so too with the tmura of an ola. Just like by a shlamim, you're offering it as a karban, you're doing so regarding the tmura and the vlad. Well, why didn't I mention vlad by ola? We know the answer already. Because an ola can't have a vlad. An ola is a male animal. Right? Despite the fact that just moments earlier this morning, I mentioned how an ola can have a vlad, but that's a very unusual circumstance where you're a maktish in a keva as a carbonola. But an ola is a male animal. Obviously, it's not going to have a vlad. The braisa continues. Yachol kol kadashim kein tamalama rak divrei bishmal. Now, is that true with every carbon? No, it's not true with every carbon because the Torah says the word rak. Rak is always a miut, and that means that not every derivative of carbon is going to be offered as a carbon. Now, this is all the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and stay tuned as we're going to identify which carbon that we were describing is not in the discussion. We know Ola is in the discussion. We know Shlamim is in the discussion. There's a carbon that's excluded. Which one's excluded? So hold that thought. The Gemara is going to come back to that. Continuing in the Braisa, Rabbi Kiva Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Kiva says, look, everything you said, check. I like all the conclusions. But the drashas, unnecessary. Because Hare Omer Hashem Hu Krav Ein Tmura So Kreva. Rabbi Kiva says, look, I know which derivatives cannot be offered. Notably, the Tmura of a Karban Hashem. The Torah says Hashem Hu. This is an Hashem. Meaning only the Hashem can be offered, but not its derivative. Not its Tmura. So now let's just simply work backwards. If the Torah says that the Tmura of a Karban Hashem cannot be offered, so that means that the tamura of all other karbanos can be offered. I don't need a drasha to tell me what's included, because I have a drasha that tells me what's excluded, and I'll just work backwards from there. Okay. So, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel seem to be totally in agreement in terms of which tamuras can be offered, which tamuras cannot be offered. It's just a question of how to arrive at that point. In the meantime, however, after having learned the second brisa, obviously this brisa is not learning the same halachas, but not from the same sources that we had on the previous brisa, meaning the one that we learned yesterday, the brisa of Zachar Nekeva. Later, the Gemara is going to ask the question, why isn't the brisa, our brisa, happier with the drushes of the previous brisa? And of course, vice versa. We'll come to that a little bit later on. In the meantime, however, immediately after having quoted this brisa, the Gemara is bothered by the havaminas of this brisa, and the Gemara is going to go over the havamina. Amar Mar, Tisa Vasa Yachol Yachnisen LeBeis HaBechira Mena Tesiha. Why would you have thought that? Why would you have thought that as a Havamina, well, you know, we're not going to offer this as a carbon, the Tamura of an Ola, the Tamura of a Shlamim, but let's bring it to the Beis HaMikdash so we could dispose of it there. Like, why? Kevin de Gemir Chamesh Chataos Hanach Mikra of Karve. So the Gemara says, look, Chamesh Chataos tells us what cannot be offered, meaning if I have a Tamura of a Chatos, that can't be offered. So everything else can be offered. What's the havamina? So ma'u detem chamesh chatos meisus b'kol makom. V'hanach yimus b'beisach b'chira kamash malan. Well, the Gemara says, well, look, I know about the chamesh chatos, and I know tumuras chatos is to be disposed of. Again, in the havamina, we're just giving a little more clarity to the havamina. The havamina would have been that Chamesh chatos mesos, including the tamuras chatos. So that can be disposed of anywhere. Meaning it's totally disqualified. Where there, you have to dispose of it, but you're not limited to where you dispose it. You want to do it in Tel Aviv, wherever you are. It doesn't matter where you are. You can dispose of it wherever you are. Masha Inkin, when it comes to the Tamur of Ishlamim, again, this is all in the Havamina. The Tamur of Ishlamim, the Tamur of Anola, maybe you have to dispose of it specifically in Yerushalayim. Still, I don't fully understand the Havamina, but the Gemara at least is giving some sort of distinction between the Chatas, Tamur Chatas, and Tamur Shlamim. Amar Yachol Afkol HaKadashim Kein Tamalamar Rakadashecha. Vlad Daman. The Gemara says, okay, now the conclusion, at least according to Rabbi Shmuel, is that when the Torah says, Rak Kadashecha, so therefore we're excluding something. What are we excluding over here? Meaning, via Drasha, we're excluding something. The Gemara says, what is actually off the table in terms of a Tmura of a Karban? Now, Idol Azachahu, Valabar Ludihu. Well, look, are we talking about the offspring of a Karban Ola? We can't be. A Ola does not have an offspring. So that's not in the discussion, there's nothing to discuss. And Ichatas Gemir La Dilamisa Kaime, are we talking about the Vlad of Achatas? We know the halacha. Vlad of Achatas is Holech Lamisa. That's halacha la Moshe Misinai. I don't need a drasha for that because that's based on a tradition that we have. And Ida Asham Gemir La Dilaraya Azla. Are we talking about a carbon Asham? You know, a carbon Asham, the fact that it, in the case of Tamura, in the case of Tamura, the idea that it is not going to be offered as a carbon, that's also part of Halach L'Moshe Mesinai. What is the Halach L'Moshe Mesinai? The Gemara introduces us to it. Dechol Shebechatas Mesa Ba'asham Roeh. We know that there's a correlation. Anything by a chatas which is designated for death, for disposal, by a asham, holech l'ra'ayah. It goes towards grazing. Meaning, in a similar scenario by a carbon asham, it is left to graze. So, we have a halach l'moshe misina regarding carbon chatas. We have a halach l'moshe misina regarding an asham as well. And so, when talking about the tamura and the vlad of carbonos that are not going to be offered, and we have the word rak, which is coming to be a miut, what is it coming to be memai? So, tamura zola in. Tamura and vlad of ishlamim in. Chatas and asham out, but we know that via halach l'moshe misinai. What is left for the drasha to talk about? So the olam mechatas vehichus gemir la lemisa v'kra lemuti lahakrava. So the Gemara makes a suggestion. Well, maybe the halach l'moshe misinai tells me that I dispose of it, and the pasuk is telling me that I can't offer it. To which the Gemara says, what? If I have to dispose of it, isn't that by definition mean that I can't offer it? V'ha b'hatalya. Aren't those two points basically corollary points one to another? So kevin de la misa azla mimela lo karva. If I have to dispose of it, so by definition that means I can't offer it. So ella hilchus alachatos v'kra lemuti tamuras asham. So the Gemara says, okay, well, maybe the halach l'moshe misinai is for a chatas, and the pasuk is for the tamur of an asham. Hanami hilchus agemir ladamer kol shebechatas mesa ba'asham roa. Again, the Gemara says, what about the halach l'moshe misinai correlating whatever by a chatas is for death, for an asham is holech l'ra'ayah. And so by tamuras chatas, that's misa. So tamuras asham is let to graze. So elakrami ba'ilei di'avra makriv kai ba'aseh. So finally the Gemara concedes, you're right. There is a halach l'moshe misinai that tells me that the derivatives of a chatas, both the tamur and the vlad, are holech l'misa. Halach l'moshe misinai. Asham, tamuras asham, holech l'ra'ayah. Let it graze and develop a blemish. Also, halach l'moshe misinai. The drasha is putting on top of all that also an iser aseh. Iser aseh telling me, here are the tamuras and the vlados that you can offer, and by inference, and by clear inference, here's what you can't offer. This is what's called in halacha lava b'mechlala say, that I know now what I can't do based on the positive commandment, and the lava b'mechlala say falls under the category of an aseh. And so what the Torah is doing is slapping an aseh on top of it. What does that gain for us? Well, hard for me to really articulate. Not sure. In other words, we already know that it's also based on halacha l'moshe misinai, and the aseh now is just simply overlaying on top of that a formal iser aseh as well. Maybe, I'm suggesting, don't have to buy this, But maybe the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim allows for certain leniencies. In other areas of halacha, I'm thinking about Safek Arla, for example. So we know by Safek Arla Chutz Aretz. So being that that's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, so we're allowed to be makel by a Safek. So the so maybe if it were just a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, so for a question of Safek, we could be makel. But now on top of that, it's also an Isra Aseh. So therefore, we have a possibility to be more machmir. That's just a suggestion. I don't have to be right about that. I'd like to, but it doesn't have to be. Rabbi Kiva Omer Einu Tzarech V'chulei V'Hakra V'Ein Tumura So Kreva. Okay, back to the second Braisa. The Braisa, according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, unnecessary. Why? Since I know the Tumura Sashem is not going to be offered, all other Tumuras are going to be offered. Lami Likra V'Ilchus Gemirula. Again, it's the same question for Rabbi Kiva that we asked for Rabbi Shmuel. What do I need a drasha for? I have the halach l'moshe Mitzrayim. And achinami alakra lamali. So the Gemara acknowledges, you're right. I don't need the pasuk. I have halach l'moshe Mitzrayim. So then what is the drasha of Asham Hu coming to teach us? So l'chad Rav Huna da'amar Rav Huna Asham shenitak l're'aya v'shachtau stam kasher l'shem ola. I have a carbon asham where I no longer need it. Why do I no longer need it? Of course you need the carbon asham. You set it aside because you were chayv to bring a carbon asham. That's the only reason why you bring carbon asham. So we go back to one of our classic scenarios where I set aside a carbon asham, I lost it, I got a replacement, I offered the replacement, and I found the original. Now I no longer need it. Fine. So I no longer need the original. So under those circumstances, what do we do with the carbon asham? Can't be reassigned, right? No, it can be reassigned. A carbon asham, one of the unusual examples within the world of karbanos, where it can be reassigned to a carbon ola. Carbon asham is a male animal. Carbon ola is a male animal. It can't be that simple, obviously, but it can be reassigned to a carbon ola. It has to be nitak l'ra'aya. Now, nitak l'ra'aya, it's not totally clear exactly what that means. I'll read the Rashi over here. Rashi, im hishlim l'ro'a v'kanav v'shachto stam. What I did is I went to the shepherd and I said, look, I thought I needed this for my carbon asham. Now I no longer need it based on circumstances. So I no longer need it. So I'm giving it to you, the shepherd. And your job right now is to great, let it graze, shepherd it, let it graze. And when it develops a blemish, so then you call me. Okay, so that is the Nitek L'Raya, as Rashi describes it over here. See the top Tosfos. I'm not going to go through it. See the top Tosfos who gives a different understanding of Nitak L'Raya. But anyway, the point simply being is that we're learning together now that the carbon asham, when reassigned, can actually convert into a carbon ola. Nitak inlo, Nitak lo. But you need the stage of reassignment. Again, like the way Rashi described it, I handed it over to the shepherd and said, I no longer need it as a carbon asham. My time, ahu be'av yaso yehei. And the reason why is because it says asham hu. Asham hu, it is an asham. It will continuously be in a state of being a carbon asham until I designate otherwise. And again, designation is I handing it over to the shepherd, telling him I no longer need it as my carbon asham. Okay. Now, after having been formally introduced to both braisos, teaching us the halachas of lad shlamim, tumur shlamim, the first braisa on yesterday's daf, the second braisa on the bottom of yesterday's daf. So the Gemara says, "La'itan de'kai yelav mihani kray typically mizachin nekeva." Why didn't the second brisa agree with the first brisa's conclusions? Ha'omi bailei levlad balei mumim le'tumors balei mumim v'tumors balei mumim. Oh, because he's of the opinion that brisa of zachin nekeva that was there to introduce us to the next chiddush. What's the next chiddush? That if the original animal is a balmum and I'm creating a shlamim based on a tumura of a balmum, so as long as the secondary is in a fit state, it can be offered. Meaning the second point of the brisa. But typically kula mehad kra. Well, the Gemara says, well, remember the first brisa? The first brisa learned the primary point of vlad tamura and vlad shlamim. I'm sorry, vlad shlamim and tamur shlamim, and also learned the second point as well. That even if the original animal is a balmum, why didn't the second brisa feel comfortable learning both points from zachar nekeva im lamashmalei? Because if you remember yesterday's daf and yesterday's brisa, it came from the extra word im. And we see this throughout the Gemara. Whether im is eligible to be used for a drasha. The second brisa simply doesn't agree with the premise that you could use the word im for a secondary drasha. And let's ask now in the other direction. Why don't the first brisa enjoy or appreciate the drasha of the second brisa? So the Gemara says, because my avid lehu, or more to the point, once you're learning out the halachas of la shlamim and tmur shlamim from zachar nekeva, so what are you learning out from the word, from the pasuk of rak? So the Gemara says, afilu mimarayhu lishna achina, afilu lishna achrina mimorigayhu. What the first brisa is learning out from the psukim that the second brisa come to introduce us to is the idea that if I have a carbon, I got to bring the carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. And even though it may be a little bit inconvenient, it doesn't matter. Now, the Gemara gave us two versions of what inconvenience means. Either mimarayhu, it's out in the swamp right now, it's out in the marsh. Meaning I'm going to Yerushalayim and I'm going to bring a bunch of animals with me. Yeah, it's true, I designated that animal as a carbon out there in the marsh, but it would take me a long time to get that animal. It's really inconvenient. I'll tell you what. Let the animal stay there. And what I'll do is, my next trip to Yerushalayim, I'll bring that animal. I don't want to go bring it. It's inconvenient. So what the pasuk is coming to tell us is, I don't care if it's inconvenient. You go ahead and bring it. That's mimarayhu. What's mimorigayhu? Rashi over here offers a really interesting pshat. Marigayhu means that right now, currently, the animal's working. I can't bring it to Yerushalayim right now because it's working right now. It's with the morag. Morag is some sort of agricultural tool used by the animal. And because it's working right now, it'd be not only inconvenient, but like it's busy right now. It's occupied. And so therefore, I can't bring it as a carbon right now. I'll bring it next Yontif. What's the problem with this Pshat of Rashi? So everyone raises the issue. Tosos here raises the issue. What are you doing working a carbon? I mean, it's a carbon that you designate as a carbon. And right now you're thinking to yourself, well, I can't bring it to Yerushalayim now because it's working. What do you mean? A carbon is asur b'gizo v'avoda. We've said it numerous times throughout our mesechta. So how are you working it? So Tosfos over here is really bothered by that question. You can see the second Tosfos of the Amud, third Tosfos of the Amud, the Tosfos Divrei HaMaskal, Afilu Mamarayu. So he raises that question against Rashi. He offers actually a different shot altogether in the Gemara. Okay, and see Tosfos for more of that. Okay, so far so good. What we have right now is a Mishnah dealing with the Vlad of Ishlamim, the Tumor of Ishlamim. The simple summary of everything we learn, it's offered as a carbon, with all the rules of the Ishlamim as well. What if the Ishlamim itself, the primary Ishlamim, is already a Ba'amom, and I created a derivative off of the Ba'amom? So we saw that to Machlokas Amoraim, whether the derivative, the Tumor, is going to be offered as an actual carbon itself. We're starting with the Mishnah in the middle of Yudches Amud Aleph, Rebbe Lazar Omer Vlad Shlamim Lo Yikrav Shlamim. Now, this opinion, Rebbe Lazar, we already were foreshadowed this position in yesterday's daf. He disagrees with our Mishnah meaning the first Mishnah of the Perek. Our Mishnah is of the opinion that you can offer the Vlad of a Shlamim, you can offer the Vlad of the Shlamim, and you can go on and on. And every subsequent generation can be offered. Rebbe Lazar disagrees. Rebbe Lazar Amar Vlad Shlamim, Lo Yikrav Shlamim, V'Chachamim Amrim Yikrav. So here we have a machlokas between Rebbe Lazar and the Chachamim. And you remember we said in yesterday's daf, the reason why our first Mishnah, was so exaggerated. At Sof Kol HaOlam, you know, you can go for generations ad infinitum and you can offer them as a Shlamim. Because our Mishnah wanted to say how vociferously it disagreed with with the Rebbe Lazar that we just learned in our Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Shimon, back to our Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Shimon lo nechleku al Vlad Vlad Shlamim, v'al Vlad Vlad Tamura, shalo yikrav amaz nechleku al Vlad. A somewhat ambiguous statement by Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says they're only arguing about first generation, but they're not arguing about second generation. Why is it ambiguous? Because, they agree by second generation. They agree which way? That second generation can be offered, or that second generation cannot be offered. The Gemara is going to actually offer both Pshatim in Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Lazar Amar lo yikrav v'chachamim omi yikrav. Okay. In other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, the only argument is only over the first generation. Where according to the Chachamim, first generation can be offered, and according to Rabbi Lazar, first generation cannot be offered. But then as you move on to second generation, they agree. They agree to what point? Okay, good. The Gemara is going to discuss. Hey, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Papayas, Avlad Shlamim, Sheikrav Shlamim. The testimony given by the Tanaim of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Papayas that the Vlad of a Shlamim can be offered as a Shlamim, meaning we pass like the Chachamim, and I'm Rabbi Papayas, I'm giving the following testimony. Sha'isa lanu, para shel zivche Shlamim va'achlunu be'pesach. The mother was a Shlamim, the mother we offered on Pesach.
And then v'achlun avlada shlamim b'chag. And it had a vlad, and we ate it on Sukkos. Good. So I'm just giving testimony. Right, the mother we ate, we offered as a carbon shlamim on Pesach, and then 6 months later, so we offer the vlad on Sukkos as a carbon shlamim. Good. So in other words, like the halacha is like the chachamim, not like Rebbe Lazar. The story is a little bit strange, if I can foreshadow the upcoming Gemara, because in order to get to Sukkos, so obviously that meant that you skipped over Yontif, right? Is that bad? The answer is yes, that's bad. In other words, if you have a karban, you got to bring the karban, your first yontif opportunity. Now, remember the Gemara's in Rosh Hashanah, Baal Te'acher, you're not allowed to delay. Three. So you're not allowed to delay three. That's correct. Three gets you to the lav. However, the Gemara over there in Rosh Hashanah says, but if you skip your first yontif, you had a karban and you skipped the first yontif, you're already in violation of a mitzvah saseh. Mitzvah saseh is to bring it up, your first yontif opportunity. So I'm just foreshadowing the Gemara. The Gemara is going to ask this question. So if the mother I shechted on Pesach, obviously that means that she delivered the offspring before Pesach. Good. So that means now that in order to get to Sukkos, you had to have gone over Shavuos. And you skip Shavuos. And so on one hand, the Mishnah makes perfect sense. The whole point is that the Vlad Shlamim is brought like a Shlamim. That's great. But you skipped the Yontif. Gemara is going to ask that question. Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time of the Rebbe Lazar. What is the reason, Rebbe Lazar, that the Vlad of a Shlamim cannot be offered? Amakra v'im zevach shlamim karbano. So the pasuk says v'im zevach shlamim karbano. Again, third parak of Vayikra. Now the word v'im means and if. And he's going to do something super interesting with the word v'im. And that is he's going to give other vocalizations to the word. Different punctuation. Not punctuation. Vocalization. Right? V'im v'lo v'lad. V'im, if he changed it from a chirik into a tzerei, it means the mother and not the offspring. Okay. Interesting form of darshaning, right? This is really a question of Yeshem LaMikra, Yeshem LaMisara, how it's written, how it's pronounced, where do we give more importance? Anyway, a really interesting way of darshaning. Amalei Rabbi Chiya bar Abba l'Rabbi Amma l'me'ata im al todi yakrivenu achanami de'im v'lo v'lad. Really interesting. Every time we have the word im. So you mean to tell me that Rabbi Lazar darshans it by changing the chirik to its tzerei and making it an aim, making it a mother, not the offspring? Is that right? V'chitei machanami. Now by Karban Todah we have the similar construct of pasuk, and you want to tell me that he makes the same drasha, but we know otherwise. V'atanya v'ladus morasa v'chilufeha minayin tamalamar im al todah mikom makom. By Karban Todah, even Rabbi Lazar is in agreement that the offspring can be offered. What do you mean the offspring can be offered? By Shlamim, he told me that he can't because it says im. Shouldn't we apply the same type of drasha for Karban Todah as well? And clearly we don't. So in other words, we got it wrong. Rebbe Lazar is not basing it on the drasha of im and aim. Ela am Rebbe Chiya bar Abba, am Rebbe Yochanan, hainu taima de Rebbe Lazar, gzera shem yigadol mehem adorim adorim. So the Gemara says the reason behind Rebbe Lazar is gzera de Rabbanan. May ikar hadin, you can offer the vlad of Shlamim. That's fine. But you know what the problem is? The problem is that once I get into this mindset, so you know, I can raise a farm of karbanos. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, so in other words, if I have this karban, a female karban shlamim, and I want to bring more karbanos, so I'll let it sit around, I'll let it conceive, and I'll raise another generation of karbanos. That's great. Oh, I didn't know that. That's fantastic. And so once people get into that kind of mindset, so they're letting their karbanos lay around, and just stick around. And that leads to problems. What problems? Really interesting Rashi over here. The problem, says Rashi, is that Giza Vavoda. Because what's going to happen is that these animals are just hanging around your farm, so you're going to end up shearing it, you're going to end up working it, and so it leads to the problems of Giza Vavoda. What's another possible consideration of a problem that it could lead to? Very simple. Baal Te'acher. It could lead to the problem of, well, if I just let it graze in order so that it so that it conceives and has children, so it means I'm not going to be bringing it right away. Already by the first yontif, you're in violation of an asay. By three yontif yamim tovin, you're in violation of a lav of Baal Te'acher. So that could also be a problem as well. It's interesting, Rashi focuses on the giza, on the avoda, and not on the issue of Baal Te'acher. So really important comment over here on the Rashi, given by the Rashash. I'm not going to go through it right now, but if you want to see something really interesting, take a look at the Rashash on this Rashi, why Rashi is focused on the Giza Va'avoda and not on the issue of Baal Te'acher. Am Rabbi Shimon lo nechluku e bailuhu hechitani le hechitani lo nechluku shalo yikrvu ela yikrvu odim lo nechluku shayikrvu ela im ela lo yikrvu. The Gemara now goes to Rabbi Shimon's comment. Rabbi Shimon's comment on the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. You know, it's true they're arguing, but they're only arguing about first generation. They're not arguing about second generation. Okay. And when we say they're not arguing about second generation, what does that mean? They both agree you can offer it, or they both agree you can't offer it. And the Gemara is actually going to explore both possibilities. Amar Rabba mistabar lo nechluku shelo yikrvu ela yikrvu. Rabba says that they both agree that when you're up to the second generation after the mother, so the grandchildren, so that could be offered. My time, I can't lo Rabba Lazar ala derabban ela bavladava vladi cry ba'amahu. Because consider, if we're at the point where they had a first generation, that's normal. A female animal conceiving and having an offspring, that's nature. So that's, and Rabbi Elazar says, for concern like we just articulated, that I'm just going to start grazing and breeding these animals. So out of concern of that, and again, the way Rashi explained it, because of Giza Vavoda, so Rabbi Elazar says that I'm going to slap a Isser de Rabbanan, that one should not do that. But when you're already up to the grandchildren, this is so unusual. It's a milsa de lo shchicha. And what do we normally say about milsa de lo shchicha? Lo gazer ba rabbanan. The rabbis do not make a decree on something that's so unusual. And so therefore, once you're up to the second generation, the chachamim are like, this is so unusual, that's fine. That would be okay. And so then Rabbi Elazar and the chachamim would agree that if we're up to generation number two, that could be offered. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it, which, you know, I intuitively think is just easier to hear. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar lo nechluku sheyikrvu ela lo yikrvu. No, when we're up to generation number two, at this point in time, we're all in agreement. You can't offer generation number two. My time, I can't lo pliga Rabbi Ella de Rabbi Lazar ela bevladav bevlad vlad mitoch maasen nikars machshavaso delegado kabayle. When you're up to second generation, you know what this person is trying to do. It's actually pretty clear at this point in time. Meaning, it has an offspring. Fine, it has an offspring. But now we're up to the second generation of offspring. Clearly, this person is interested in breeding. And so, but it's a carbon. What are you doing? You're breeding? Stop breeding. Bring it as a carbon. So we're already up to second generation. Even the Chachamim agree to Rebbe Lazar, we're with you. Meaning, once the person has clearly demonstrated that he's interested in breeding, he cannot offer the second generation up as a carbon. Tani Rebbe Chia l'siyua l'Rebbe Yoshua ben Levi. Of the two pshatim that we just offered in Rabbi Shimon's comment on the machlokas of Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, the Gemara now is going to bring in a braisa that clearly represents the position of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, which is that by generation number two, you cannot bring it. The braisa reads, Im kesev hu makri vlad rishon krav vlad sheni eino krav. Hu krav ein vlad kol hakadashim krav. It can be offered, but the first point of the braisa is that the vlad can be offered, the first generation can be offered, but not the second generation. Meaning, like Rabbi Yeshua and Levi taught us. And then the braisa says, it can be offered, but that's not true by the vlad of other karbanos. The vlad of other karbanos cannot be offered. Okay. The second part of the braisa, unclear. Meaning, we've accomplished what we wanted to. The whole reason why we brought the braisa down was to support the idea that once you're up to second generation, you can't offer it anymore. And again, because of Gzeira of Shemi Gadol Adarim Adarim. Because clearly now you're interested in breeding them, and the Chachamim don't want you breeding them. Fine. The second part of the braisa, that by Vlad Kashim, there are others that you can't offer. What others are we talking about? Vlad Demai. Ida Olav Asham Zecharim Heim, Velo B'nei Vlad Heim. The Ola and the Asham can't have children. They're male animals. And Ida Chatas Hilchus HaGemirla, Delamisa Azla. And if we're talking about a carbon chatas, we don't need a drasha. We have Halach LaMoshe Mesinai. Amar Ravina Asuye Vlad HaMeuseres. So we're talking about the Vlad of a Meiser Behema animal. Vlad HaMeuseres LaMelikra. Avra Avra MiBechorka Gamirla. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? We already know that the Vlad of Meiser Behema cannot be offered as a carbon because as we've gone over numerous times, the Gzereshava linking Meiser Behema to Bechor. Just like by Bechor, the Vlad of a Bechor cannot be offered. Now, little secret. A Vlad of a Bechor cannot be offered because the Bechor is a male animal. So our Bechor is not going to be having a Vlad. Okay, secret revealed. So, but still, there's not going to be a vlad of a bechor, and so therefore, just like there's not going to be a vlad of a bechor, or otherwise stated, we're not going to be offering the vlad of the bechor, we're not going to be offering the vlad of Maaser Behemah as well. So we know it based on Gzeira Shava. Now that's an unusual Gzeira Shava, as the Gemara itself is about to point out. We're learning a halacha regarding vlados from bechor to Maaser Behemah. Bechor e efshar, Maaser Behemah efshar. We can't learn out efshar from e efshar, right? So it's the rechsaka da chaminayin dan and efshar mishi efshar kamash malan. So the Gemara says that's exactly the point. Meaning, if all I had is the gzera shava, I would have stopped the gzera shava short in its track, and I would have said, "Look, what a lovely gzera shava." But you're learning a halacha from bechor where it's impossible for it to have a vlad, and we're going to then learn it to Maaser Behemah where it's possible to have a vlad. That's not an efshar mishi efshar. We don't do that. The drasha is there to push the gzera shava through. Meaning, you're right, we normally don't do that. But since we have an additional drasha, the additional drasha tells us the conclusion is correct. The vlad of Maaser Behemah cannot be offered as a carbon. Hey, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Papayas, V'l'Rav Adam, R'kashm, Kevin, Shavar, Aleim, Regel, Achad. Regel, Echad, Kol, Yom, V'Yom, over, Aleim. Now, in our Gemara, we have the words, Beval, Te'acher. Based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, let's edit it. And when I say let's, I mean it's already been done. Let's edit to over, Aleim, Be'aseh. Okay, so good. Here's the Gemara now asking the question that we already foreshadowed back in the Mishnah. The testimony given by Rav Papayas that we shechted the mother on Pesach as a Karban Shlamim, and then the offspring we shechted as a Karban Shlamim 2 yontifs later on Sukkos. So, wait, you can't go past Shavuos. Once you have the Karban ready for Shavuos, it's got to be brought on Shavuos. And if I don't bring it on Shavuos, granted, the Lav is not violated until 3 Regalim. But the Isser Asay already is violated by the first Yontif. So Me'atzer is by Lemichle. You should have eaten it on Shavuos, the offspring. Amrazid, Mishmei Derava, Kigon Shayachol about Seres. So answer number one, the animal was, or either the animal or the person. Not totally clear from the Gemara. One of the two. Anyway, you were sick on Shavuos. Either you were sick or the animal was sick on Shavuos, meaning Ones. Right? We couldn't bring it on Shavuos because of an Ones. That's answer number one. Rav Ashi Amar my chag nami diktani.
On
Shavuos, right? On Yontif itself, you can't offer neder nedava. Maybe you could be talking about around the Shavuos time. Maybe the 7 days of Hashlama after Shavuos. Maybe that's making reference to. Could be. Okay, it's a good point. Rav Ashi Amar my chag nami diktani chag Shavuos. Well, maybe chag over here means chag Shavuos. Now, of course, that's unusual. Whenever you see the word chag is usually a reference to Sukkos. Ve'ida kol heita diktani Pesach tani atzeres. And the other position, meaning Rav Zvid will tell you, when we are talking about Shavuos relative to Pesach, we never call it chag. We always call it atzeres. If what he wanted to say is that we offered it on Shavuos, he would have referred to Shavuos as Atzeres. Because what is Atzeres? Atzeres basically is conclusion, right? Literally the word means stop, stopping point. Meaning Pesach, I know Pesach is 7 days. Here in Galus, 8 days. But the truth of the matter is it lingers. And we know that because of Omer, Sfiras HaOmer. And really, when is the conclusion of Pesach? Shavuos, right? So if we were talking about Shavuos relative to Pesach, we would have called it Atzeres. Just like Shmini Atzeres. What Shmini Atzeres? Conclusion. Sukkos is 7 days. And then what do we have? Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres. Meaning conclusion of Sukkos. Okay. So Yachi Mai Asidusa. So the Gemara says now, if you're right about all this, so then what's the testimony? And obviously the point is that it's a rejection of the opinion of Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar says that you do not offer the Vlad of a Shlamim as a Karban. And the whole point of the testimony is no, we do. Okay. Let's just run through the next Mishnah and Gemara. Vlad Toda, Utmurasa, Vladan, Atsof Kol Hadoros, Hare Elu Kitoda, Uvavach Intunim Lachem. Okay, so the derivative of a carbon toda. Now, carbon toda, let's just remind each other, carbon toda is a form of a carbon shlamim, but with notable differences. A carbon toda, why do you bring a carbon toda? As a way of thanking a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You survived a life-threatening event, and the Gemara in Brachos goes over 4 different types of life-threatening events that one has survived. So you bring a carbon toda to the Beis HaMikdash, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you survived. And so the carbon toda is an animal, and along with it comes 40 loaves of bread. The Gemara back in Menachos, we went in great detail, detailing the amount of flour that's used for the 40 loaves of bread. The 40 loaves of bread are made into groupings of four different types of loaves. Of that, 10 of them is chametz, and the other 30 are matzos. And we went through all this in much great detail. For our purposes right now, let's just remind ourselves that by the carbon toda, it's an animal with 40 loaves of bread that accompany the carbon. Now, in this construct, what we're saying over here is as follows. That you are going to bring the tamura and the vlad of a carbon toda, but its derivative does not require lechem. Period. That's the whole point of the Mishnah. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. In Anamili, the Gemara quotes a b'raisa, Tanu Rabbanan. Mahu Omer Yakrivenu. Mafrish toda. So the pasuk by the carbon toda says Yakrivenu. You're going to offer it. Mafrish toda va'avda. So let's say you set aside a carbon toda. And vihifresh acheres tachteha, and you set aside a replacement. V'nimtzei sarishona v'arishteim omdos, and the two of them are now looking at you, right? Which one is going to be offered? You can choose. Minayin she'ezu she'yirtze yakriv v'lachma ima tamalamar toda yakriv. So the Torah says toda yakriv. You offer whichever toda you want. Either one of them can qualify as your carbon toda, and you're gonna whatever bread you set aside will be attached to the carbon toda of your choosing. How about you offer the second one as well? With bread? No, not necessary. Not only not necessary, but no. Tamalam or Yakrivenu, Achas Veloshtaim. Minayin LaRabos Vlados, Tumuros, Vichalifos. Now, what about anything that's exchanged for the carbon toda? Or any derivative carbon toda? An offspring, a Tumura, or even an exchange like we just described. Tamalam or Vim Al Toda. So Vim Al Toda tells us that anything above the carbon toda, the toda itself, but no derivatives of it. I'm sorry. Imal toda comes to tell me that any replacement is going to be offered as a carbon toda. How about all the derivatives and its requirement for bread? Toda tuna lechem vlad vlada utmurasa vechilafta. I'm sorry. Velo vlada utmurasa vechilafta vetuna lechem. Only the original requires lechem. Any derivative, the vlad, the tamur, the chilufin, do not require lechem. Okay. I kind of will stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah. So again, just as a quick recap, we finished off all the drushas regarding the vlad shlamim, that it can be offered. Two different drushas arrive us to that point. The brisa of Zachar Nekeva, the brisa of Raka Deshecha, and the Gemara went through the back and forth of why does each brisa prefer its drusha as opposed to the other drusha. We started the next Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar disagrees with the whole premise of Vlad Shlamim. Rabbi Elazar says that Vlad Shlamim cannot be offered. Rabbi Shimon says that the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim are only regarding the first generation, not regarding the second generation. The Gemara concluded that by second generation, they both agree, cannot be offered. And Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Papayas testify that the halacha falls like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Eliezer, which means that the Vlad of a Shlamim can, in fact, be offered. As far as what is the reason behind Rabbi Elazar, so the Gemara first thought it was based on a drasha, but the Gemara concludes that it's based on Gzera de Rabbanan, Shema Yigadol Mehem Adarim Adarim. Because what may end up happening is that if given the allowance to bring the offspring, so then you're going to start just letting it sit around and breed, and you will violate an Isser. What Isser would you violate? Rashi over here says Giza Vavoda. I told you this morning, take a look at the Rashash over here who makes such an interesting comment on that Rashi.
If we don't follow it, what happens to that
Gezerah
then?
So what it comes out from the Gemara is that the Chachamim actually agree with the Gezerah, but only from generation 2 and onward. From generation 2 and onward.
Oh, I see.
The Chachamim would agree. In other words, the Gezerah actually, the Chachamim subscribe to that Gezerah, but not by the first generation, only by the second generation. And then finally, the Gemara on the story of offering the mother on Pesach and then the offspring on Sukkot. Why do we skip Shavuos? The Gemara offers a couple of suggestions in terms of why they skip Shavuos that year. And the last thing we learned this morning was the Tamura and the Vlad of the Karban Toda. It's going to be offered just like the Karban Toda itself. The only distinction being the Karban Toda, the original, has the Lechem, and any of the derivatives do not have Lechem.